Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Okay, if you have your Bibles, why don't you turn to Hebrews, and we're going to go through chapter 1, the first three verses in Hebrews tonight. We're going to talk a little bit about them, but let's pray first and ask God to just come and help us. Lord, I just ask that tonight that you would really help us to press into you. We've already done that in worship, and we know that you can magnify yourself to our human hearts in a great way if we just ask and believe and know that you can. So, Lord, I ask that we would feed faith tonight and that you would magnify, Father, magnify, Holy Spirit, magnify Jesus to our hearts this evening. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Okay, before going through the book of Hebrews, just a couple words about it. This book was written, a lot of people say it was Paul that wrote the book. A lot of people really don't know. It's never a conclusion who really wrote it. But it was written to the Hebrews. It was written to the early church, the Jewish church, because there was a lot going on. There was a lot of heresy taking place, meaning this, that a lot of people were just saying that Jesus was a prophet or he was just a good teacher, that he wasn't who he said he was. And it was beginning to infiltrate into the early church and the Hebrew church. And so they were beginning to draw back. And so this book was written so that they would press in more to knowing who Jesus was. And the author is pretty amazing how he put things together. But it was to empower those Jewish leaders, those believers, against compromise. And even today, I think that a lot of us are in that place where we can begin to compromise. What we sang about tonight was all about Jesus. And we were glorifying him. We were putting him in front and center. We were focusing on him, giving things to him, allowing him to speak to us. And I want to just say that in your journey as a Christian, no matter where you're at in your journey, you're going to find out something. And it's very simple. Even though you love to know deep things about the Word and different revelations, and God takes us deep, and that's awesome. But you're going to find out that it really is just not about at all religion, but this intimacy with Christ and knowing Christ. It's about this simple relationship that you begin to cultivate on a day-to-day basis that really makes you who you are in Christ. It's not so much about what you do. It's about where you go and how you're with him and how Jesus is pretty much your obsession. Our goal as Christians should be that Jesus is our divine obsession. That we're obsessed with knowing him and knowing all about him, because it is all about him, and he has always been, and it will always be. And everything that's shifting and changing has everything to do with him, with Jesus. And I'll show you that a little bit in the scripture. So our goal should be to be obsessed with Jesus and to know him. And when we do that, when we know him, it makes our inner man, our spirit, vibrant. We begin to become strong. Because we're in that place with knowing him on a day-to-day basis. Don't try to do the next best thing of making your life work for God. Just be before Jesus and get to know him. And watch what he does. Don't think that you need to have all this knowledge so that you can come off spiritual. I guarantee you that if you know him in a secret place, if you know him in a place of intimacy, if you're obsessed with him and you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you into that place with him, which is what we sang about, that you are going to become strong and vibrant in your walk with God. But it is all about Jesus, and it always will be. I won't stop saying that forever and ever and ever. And so, as we look at this, Paul was gladly, he gave up everything for the sake of Christ. He gave up everything for the majesty of who God was. And you begin to see that in Paul's life. His spirit longed for the deep things of God's heart. He longed for Jesus. And we need that same spiritual revelation in the power of the Holy Spirit causing us to long and to hunger. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit that lives within us, is what creates hunger to know him. That's what creates hunger. And that begins to bring freedom into our life. And when we begin to allow the Holy Spirit to create hunger in us to know Jesus more, it becomes very natural. And you've heard me say 1,000 times that hunger is the currency of God. You can't force feed yourself. Does that make sense? You just got to hang out with Jesus and begin to experience him. And he begins to cause you to hunger for more and more of who he is and his magnificence. Our destiny is tied to that. I want you to look at Philippians 3:8 before we go into Hebrews. And this right here, this could be a theme verse for your life. You could say, I want this to be my theme verse. You don't have to, but it could be good. I count all things, this is what Paul was saying, I count all things loss for the excellence. I count all things loss for the excellence, or you could say the magnificence, of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, of knowing him. Paul put that as a main priority. I'm asking you, are you obsessed with him? Are you? Do you want to know him? Is he everything? Can you say, can I say, everything is rubbish compared to knowing Christ? You see, I found this treasure in him. I found this word. I found somebody that absolutely, completely validates my life. No matter who says anything or what. Because that's who Jesus is. He's the lover of our soul. And to walk in our destiny, we need to make sure that he's everything to us. And Paul wanted to know that. In the book of Hebrews, as we're about ready to look into this scripture, and it's a pretty powerful passage, you can begin to understand that this writer was really trying to help these guys understand the excellence of who Christ is. Let's just read through it real quick, and then we'll go back through it. Just verses 1 through 3. It says, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in the last days, verse 2, in the last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature. And he upholds things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. He sat down as the King of kings and the Lord of lords. If you look at these first three verses, there's some amazing truths in these first three verses that we need to pull out. It talks about these seven excellencies of Christ, these seven truths of who he is. Right from the get-go, the writer says, okay, I got to get you guys straightened out here. This is who Jesus is. And I got to admit, it probably just dumbfounded them when they begin to have their talks and he began to speak, because he said, in the last days has spoken to us his Son, whom he appointed. Number one, seven different truths. Here's the first one. Number one, he appointed Jesus as the heir to all things. Everything. Everything belongs to him. You and I, the earth, the heavens, everything belongs to him. So number one, he appointed Jesus the heir of all things. Through whom, number two, through whom also he made the world. Jesus has always been. He has never just come on the scene. Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit have always been. He's never not been. He's always been with the Father. And he was there in the creation. So number two, another excellent thing, this Jesus that we're talking about, through whom he made the whole world. And then number three, and he is the radiance of his glory. He is the radiance. He's the light. He's the glory of the Father. Jesus is. Jesus is the radiance and the glory of the Father. He is also the exact representation of his nature. That's number four. He's the exact representation of his nature. And number five, he upholds all things by the word of his power. Wow. Then number six, this is where he delivered all of us when he made purification of sins. Jesus is the one that delivered us all. He paid the price. And then number seven, the seventh truth is that he sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. just within three verses, he begins to explain who he is. And that's why I appeal to you and my own self. Be obsessed with knowing Jesus, the creator of all things. Jesus, the heir, Hebrews 1:2, whom he has appointed heir of all things. He appointed one man as the heir over all the earth, all the resources. He's coming back to rule and reign and be over all the resources. And at that time, there was a lot of bickering with the Romans and Caesar about rightful owners and property and nation and lands. And they were caught up in that. Jesus is the one that will have everything. Jesus is also the one who has power over all sin and set us free. Am I making a case yet? Am I making a case that this Jesus, it's all about him? It's all about knowing him. It's about a passion to know him and to be with him and to allow him to have everything that you have. It's going to be worth it. It's going to pay off huge in the end. Jesus receives all things. He's the heir of the world, of the universe. This is truth, man. This is truth. This is who he is. This is who we serve. Okay. If one celebrity walked in here that you guys might, could be a football player, could be a basketball player, could be somebody, movies, whatever. One guy walked in here, or one gal, you would say, man, I'd like to get a picture with them or get to shake their hand or something. Just, you know, I know you would, okay? I know. We have it. We want to be close. We want to be know these people. This Jesus, you knowing Jesus, validates your life in such a powerful way. You knowing Jesus makes everything so worth whatever you're going through. Because you know in the end, you're his and he's yours. He is fighting on your behalf. He is warring on your behalf. He is madly, madly obsessed with you. And if you don't believe that, it's a lie. I have come to the point of saying, you know, hell or high water, I mean, whatever happens, I'm going to trust Jesus through it all. And I've learned to do that when I've been feeling like I was on top of the mountain and when I've been at the bottom. And that's what he wants you to do. He never wants you to run off without him. He wants you to know him. He wants you to be obsessed with him and who he is. An obsession. I have to just confess, if I would talk to him as much as I text, I might be in a good place. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hurt anybody. The point I'm making is that there's so many distractions in our life, and we put so much energy in so many things. When Jesus, the one who owns everything, is coming back for us, has died for us, will live with us. He is going to rule and reign. The Father has given him everything, everything, all resources, all power, all riches, it says in Revelation. What does that mean? You know, a lot of people just think it's so spiritual, so heavenly. No. He's coming back to redeem the earth. He's coming back to set up his kingdom on earth. He's coming back to allow you to rule and reign with him. I hate religion, but I love relationship. I hate religion. I hate that sometimes we think we've got to measure up or do a certain way or act a certain way to be loved by Jesus. I hate that stuff. I hate things that are just so boxed in or so programmed. And I just, you know, like what we did tonight, I was so thankful that I was up here with these musicians singing. I'm not caught up in if they hit every note or sang everything. I'm at that place saying, I just want to gather with people that want to be obsessed with Jesus. I looked back and saw John Johnson dancing at the beginning. My heart leaped. I saw the flags waving in the back. My heart leaped. Man came forward, knelt down. My heart leaped. We have to be able to rejoice with each other and for each other when we have moments. God knows each and every one of you, and you don't know what we've all been through, right? maybe a little bit of testimony, but God knows everything, and God's loving on us, and he's not giving up on us. And if you're one running from God or just kind of put him off to the side, it's not going to last long. His presence and his glory and his him coming here and setting things up for the final harvest, it is going to just tweak everything within you. And you're either going to be obsessed or you're going to be on the run. And God wants to use all of you in this room to be messengers. I have no doubt of that. That's not a lie. Messengers in your home, messengers on the street, messengers in the workplace. We got a whole mall out there. We got people all in this region that need Jesus. Things are really they're really tilted in a rough way right now in many cities, in many regions, in many areas all over the world. But if we have Jesus, we have everything. I just can't say that enough. If you have Jesus, you have everything. The Father has ordained him, has decreed him that he will give him all the nations and he'll give him the inheritance. And his inheritance, guess what his inheritance is? It's us. We're part of it. What? It's us. We're his inheritance. And this just blows my mind. But it also includes in his inheritance governments. He's going to rule over the earth, and there's going to be governments functioning, and his government is going to rule over everything. Not only governments, but property and money and resources and possessions on the earth. They're all his. He inherits it all when he returns. I told this story, I don't know when I did, but you know, when Jesus appeared again to the disciples and they were fishing, and remember when he prepared a fire and he cooked some fish for them and brought them up? You know, knowing Jesus, he's already resurrected. He's already been with the Father. You would think that he'd just go poof and make the fire and make the fish, right? Because he's spiritual, because it's all spiritual. No, he made the fire and he cooked the fish. And it was Jesus because he loves the natural and he loves the earth and he loves his creation. When you begin to start thinking about that, it's not this high, in, you know, spiritual thing far away, heaven. No, heaven comes to earth. Jesus prepares the earth for 1,000 years so that the Father can once again be in our midst. That is amazing. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what it says. And we rule and reign with him for that 1,000-year millennial reign. And again, he's over property. He's over all the resources, all the money, everything, all the governments. Jesus is over all the nations. And it says in the scripture, in Psalm, it speaks about Jesus coming and the second coming of Christ in Psalm 45. And it talks about him riding forth victoriously on behalf of truth, humility, and righteousness. So this king that we're honoring that gets everything to him, he comes victoriously because of truth, because of humility, and because of righteousness. He comes forth. This is Jesus. It's not some, there's not one bit of arrogance in him, not one bit of pride, not, hey, you're going to come and worship me. None of that. He comes in truth and righteousness and humility. This is our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he rules from a place of love. This is what we have to look forward to. This is our great obsession. This is how we need to be obsessed with knowing him and going deeper in that intimacy with him and knowing Christ. He's going to ride forth victoriously in his second coming. And that's the same Jesus. The one I'm talking about is the same Jesus we were just worshiping, all of us together, as brothers and sisters, as a body of believers. We were worshiping. All of us are from different churches and different backgrounds. We were worshiping the King of Glory, and he's coming. It fires me up. John had a vision in the book of Revelation of the Father giving the deed to the Son, giving the deed to the earth, and everything to the Son. It's found in Revelations 5, 1 through 8. You could read there later. but this was him receiving his total authority. And total authority in the society of the millennial reign when he's going to rule and reign. It says he came and took the scroll in verse 7 out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne, the Father. In verse 11 it says, the voice of many angels were saying, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power, to receive riches, to receive wisdom, to receive strength, and honor and glory and blessing. Wow. That's what it said, that he would receive that. So during the millennial reign, Jesus will receive power. What does that mean? It means all the governmental reign and authority. Riches, again, all natural resources, all money, wisdom, intellectual ability, and property. He'll receive all that strength, physical strength, including a labor force and human resources that will function on the face of the planet in Christ. Glory. We will be obsessed with giving him honor and praise and glory because of who he is and the great love that he shows to us. We will honor him and we will esteem him from a place of divine love and obedience in our own hearts. And he's going to be a blessing, and he'll be a blessing to us because we will come in agreement with everything that he set up. We will have complete, absolute cooperation because he redeemed us from the pits of hell. And he has come back to restore the entire earth. This is Jesus. He is worthy, and he's worth it. This is the man I'm talking about. It says Jesus is the creator of the worlds. In Hebrews 1:2, it says, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he made the worlds. He made everything. In Colossians 1:16, it says, by him all things were created that are in heaven and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones, dominions, principalities, and powers. Ephesians 1:10 says, he might gather together in all in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. That gives us a little segue in understanding. I'm going to close it up here in a minute. Jesus is the radiance of God. He's the brightness of his glory. It's who he is. Pouring forth, streaming forth. It goes on to say, the fourth truth is Jesus is the exact representation of the Father. The brightness of glory, it expresses the image of the Father, Jesus does. And Colossians 1:15 says, he is the image of the invisible God. Colossians 2:9 says, for in him, which is Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus said to him, he who has seen me has seen the Father, in John 14:9. Jesus is the sustainer of the universe. Hebrews 1:3 says, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Jesus is the redeemer of the universe. He had by himself purged our sins and sat down at the right hand of the Father. And then the last truth again is Jesus is the ruler of the universe. I'll close with this. As a man, Jesus exalted the Father while he was here. And then he took his position after he paid the price, after he paid the price for our sin. In the book of Ezekiel and Daniel, there's some scripture I want to share with you. It's Ezekiel 1:26. It says, a throne like a sapphire stone with the appearance of a man high above it. Daniel 7:13-14 says, behold, one like the Son of Man is coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days. To him has been given dominion that all people should serve him. In John 17:24, Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given to me. So tonight, as we look at the scripture and we look at Hebrews 1-3 again, we need to press in and not draw back. We need to understand who Jesus is more and more and more. And if there's one little word that I said, and if there's one little nugget that you could take, that's worth it for me to be in here tonight, that all of us would become obsessed with Jesus. I had a counseling session with someone today, and I was just talking with them and sharing, and I said, you know, I've been really guilty of this. We make it so much more difficult than it needs to be. We just really need him. We need to listen for his voice. We need to allow him to speak to us. We need to be obsessed with the magnificent man, Christ Jesus. That's our destiny. Our destiny flows out of that. Why don't you guys stand? And gals. So the writer of Hebrews was trying to help them to press in and not compromise and not draw back. And so I just want to pray for you tonight, and I want you to dwell upon that scripture. and spend time on that scripture. I just want you to know that I know I wouldn't have a wife, I wouldn't have children, I would have nothing if I had not met Christ, if I had not met Jesus. I owe everything to him. I'm thankful for the men and women that have helped and poured into my life, but this is my obsession. That's why sometimes I feel like just completely flat sometimes when I have neglected my intimacy with Christ, my walks, my prayer time, just being before him and being in his word. Why don't we do this? Why don't we really try every day to be in the word and every day to have time to just gaze upon him and listen? I know you're busy. I know you work. I know you got a lot of things going on, but set aside time. Do you believe that he's worth it? I heard the other night, we were at an event on Sunday night and hearing David Robertson, some of you know as the Admiral, a great basketball player. His son, Corey Robinson, spoke. He plays for Notre Dame, and they shared their heart about Jesus, the Admiral shared his heart about Christ, and then Cam McDaniel shared his heart and just talked about purity and knowing the Lord, and he said something that stuck with Caleb and I, and I really like what he said. He was talking about Ephesians 6:13 and talking about the spiritual warfare and having our shield of faith, our sword of the spirit, breastplate of righteousness, our belt of truth. He talked about all that, and he said, you know what? He said, when I see a lot of Christians, this is basically what I see. I see a lot of Christians with a helmet. They have a helmet. They're saved, but they don't have the rest of the gear on to be able to walk through what they need to walk through. And you find that and you get that in the place of knowing Christ. He builds it inside of you. If you are a person that has a lot of excuses or you point a lot of fingers, God wants to take that all away. God does not want you to be, excuse me, to have offense toward anyone or to have unforgiveness. God wants you to lay every bit of that down. God doesn't want what people have done to you cycling within your mind and causing you to really respond. When I hear that, it doesn't matter. And when I hear it out of my own mouth, I realize, okay, I must have not been spending much time with the Lord, because all of a sudden I'm starting to point a finger or I'm starting to make an excuse. I think when we become a real man and woman of God, it's when we can own up to everything that's happened to us and take full, absolute responsibility for it. Did you hear me? Or did that just, that we own up and we take full responsibility for everything within our life. And we don't point a finger and we make no excuses. Because if we do that, then we're saying whoever we're pointing at or whatever excuse we're making is bigger than God. And nothing is bigger than God. And God can take you through anything and get you through it. But he's not going to be manipulated. He'll let you try, but he'll get you. He'll get you with love. And he'll slam you right down to that place that you need to be to speak to your heart again, because he loves you. Oh, why did God do that? Why did that have to happen? Listen, we live in a sinful world. And stuff is happening all the time because of the sinful world. That's why he's coming back, to redeem all the planet. I love this one scripture in Zechariah where it says that he finally comes on the Mount of Olives. He stands on the Mount of Olives. He comes through the eastern gate of the city of Jerusalem. And then it says he sits finally down upon his throne. And it says living water flows out from both sides of the throne. And it starts flowing out to the Mediterranean Sea and flowing out to the earth. And it starts redeeming all the land and all the waters. Every coral reef, everything is now greens are greener and blues are bluer. That's Jesus. He's coming back to do that. And he's coming back to do that for his inheritance, which is you. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for who you are, Jesus. And even tonight, Lord, we just we want to become obsessed with knowing you. And so, Lord, whatever, may we just pray this prayer quietly, each one of us. Lord, whatever you need to do, help me to get to that place that I'm obsessed with you. That you are my single-eyed focus of affection. That you are the one that I look to day and night. You are the one that catches my gaze, and the distractions that have drawn me away no longer have their way with us. So tonight, God, touch us. And let your word run swiftly through us. Hebrews 1, the whole chapter. Let it have its way in us to exalt who you are. You are everything. You have always been, you will always be, and you're coming back to rule and reign in victory through truth, humility, and righteousness. So we ask, Lord, help us to get to that place with you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. When we're in that place, our worship is going to increase, our fellowship is going to increase, everything is going to increase. So have a blessed day and a happy Thanksgiving, and enjoy your time. Wherever you're traveling to, stay safe, stay close to Jesus, man, okay? God bless you guys. Go in peace.